having described the population of underlying asset prices, we need now to calculate really what is the option value, which has been displayed in your applets, the curves in black and gray, and blue as well. So how can we calculate the expected value of the option from the sample data? To develop your intuition, let us first look at a different way to calculate this option value. And let us introduce a transition probability, the probability of having an asset at a certain point in time at a certain value, and the probability for making the transition into a different state, a different asset price at a later time. If I know this transition probability, then I can, by integrating a convolution integral with the initial condition and weighting this with the Jacobian taking care of the log normal walk, calculate the value of the option at the expiry date. And then this is easily discounted backwards in time to calculate the present value as a function of this convolution integral. In fact, this convolution integral can now be compared with the solution we obtained analytically in the previous section. And if you compare this convolution integral with the general solution, you'll find that the price of an option can in fact be calculated as the present value of the expected return under a risk-neutral random walk. This risk-neutral random walk is described with the value of the drift replaced by the spot rate minus the dividend yield. In fact, what we see here is that the drift, which disappears from the Black-Scholes equation, as we've seen in the third chapter, in fact, in the case of Monte Carlo simulation, has to be set so as to satisfy the condition that the drift is equal to the spot rate minus the dividend yield. And this describes a risk-neutral random walk where the variable, the stochastic variable, in fact, becomes a martingale. If you now compare with finite differences, you can calculate the value of an option by taking steps from time 0 to time 1, from time 1 to time 2, and each step you could calculate as a convolution integral using these transition probabilities. If you do that, then you will calculate, in fact, an integral of an integral and so forth. And if you take an infinite amount of these integrals, you will in fact arrive at what is called a Dyson series. This Dyson series is almost impossible to calculate, but is very well suited to calculate, in fact, a Monte Carlo approximation of the integral. So you can use, in fact, instead of this Dyson series, sampling using a large number of possible realizations to calculate an unbiased estimation of the mean price paid when the option is exercised. So you replace this Dyson series with a simple sum over possible realizations. This is exactly what we evolved using the Monte Carlo scheme, and therefore we can now calculate the value of the option using this very simple formula. Again, remember that the underlying asset has to be evolved using a risk-neutral random walk by setting the drift to the appropriate value. This evaluation of the option has been implemented in the MCS solution.java code and can be identified explicitly, where you see that the current state, the present value of the underlying, is first normalized to calculate, in fact, the value for different underlying asset prices, so that we evolve only one population of random walkers for the initial condition here set for the strike price, to calculate and describe, in fact, the evolution of all the different asset prices. And then, by getting the value of the option at the expiry date, we can calculate what is the terminal payoff of this possible realization. Multiplying this further by the value of the marker, which was set to 0,1 depending on if you have an in barrier and an out barrier, and also was modified depending on whether you met the condition or not, you now calculate the value of the option at the expiry date in the case of a barrier option. So all what remains to be done at the end is to discount this terminal value back to the present time, and you will be able to calculate the payoff now of any function or any initial condition as a function of these sums. You can test the scheme now in the vMarket applet, and you will see how the initial values of the sample data spread out in values, and how the corresponding option price, which could be any initial condition, for example, the super share, evolves as the time runs backwards in time. You could now test a different value for the log normal parameter kappa to describe different market increments. You could test a normal walk and compare it with also values in between normal and log normal to simply test what is happening. And in fact, if you use values significantly different from 0 and 1, you will evolve as many random or as many sets of random numbers as there is mesh points discretizing the underlying asset prices. This will allow you to compare the value of the option between neighboring grid points, and the oscillations typically between these neighboring grid points will be an indication of what is the statistical error that remains when you use as many random walkers as you like. So this can be useful to have a qualitative and even a quantitative idea of how precise your solution is, but will cost you, of course, a lot of computational time, since now you have to evolve so many more random walkers. This concludes the derivation of the Monte Carlo scheme, and as I said, you could now add to these three methods we've discussed in this section the finite element method, which also allows you to describe the payoff of a European option. This will be the subject of the next chapter and the subject of an exercise for those who want. To summarize, there is not only one method that you can use to solve the stochastic and the partial differential equations, but there is quite a lot of them, and there is none of them that is general enough to take care of all the different situations. And therefore, you need to be able to use the method which is appropriate for each particular case, and it is also an advantage to be able to compare different methods to make sure that the solution which you obtain does not depend on the method which you use to calculate. In the end, you want to make sure that you get a financially sound result independent of which manner you use to calculate it.